Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody out there, it's Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you're a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Everybody out there, I hope you all had great, great Easter. I mean, we had some great weather in the Midwest. I'm not even complaining. A little chilly, but hey, it's sunny. It's supposed to have been raining all weekend. No better Easter than the one you're going to get everybody with the family out there, have some celebrations, some sunshine, and some family community get-together. So it's great. And, you know, starting this Easter week, after week, I guess, post-week, where you're just having great people coming, great guests now coming up, and I got one right now that's just one of the people I was really proud of last year because he made such significant changes from the chances he had the prior year and the year before that. And this man, Chris Salgado, just came out of he surprised a lot of people, but not really the ones that have been keeping up with him because he's been very outspoken in what he was going to do, and he did it. So we're going to talk to him tonight, find out what's going on and how he's done it, and basically what put that spur in his butt to get doing better than he had been doing. So, Chris, if you're there, introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, how you doing, Kalen? Thanks for having me, man. Chris Salgado?
Oh.
Well, what was that, Kalen?
No, go ahead.
Kalen? Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure if you were getting my feed. Thanks for having me, man. This is pretty cool. I had a great year last year, you know. Things tend to pan out when you really put in the work. So that's pretty much, you know, like you were saying, that was my goal. I wanted to come in much better than I did in 2014. Yeah, at the Chi-Town Showdown, that is. And, you know, I just went at it with a serious approach, you know, a multi-step plan, and then just gave it my all.
Well, it worked out really good for you. I mean, we're talking about the Chi-Town Showdown, but you had so many other shows that you did that year. Well, I think, you know, like I said, unless people were really staying up to date with you and just, you know, basically part of your support group, you kind of caught a lot of people by surprise.
I may have, yeah, because, especially, you know, breaking into the pro ranks in the IFPA, from what I understand, most competitors, once they turn pro, they usually take like a year, sometimes a couple off to make improvements to be ready to actually compete at the pro level. And I kind of just jumped straight in and did a few pro shows, and it did pretty well.
You know,
I felt like I was ready.
When you think about the way you did it, it with the muscle maturity that you had done, I mean, because like this, I mean, well, just let people know how long you've been competing.
You know, Kalen, I did my first show 10 years ago. But I mean, I didn't look like a bodybuilder. I was on the stage, real pretty skinny dude. I don't know if you might have seen my before pictures.
Yes.
But it's night and day, you know. But yeah, my first time on stage was roughly 10 years ago. You know, got my feel for the stage. I pretty much I had a brief layover in the middle for a few years from grad school, you know, just being incredibly busy. Obviously not taking a break from the gym, just from the stage competing, because that, you know, as you know, that really you have to devote a lot of time to that.
Yes, you do. Well, yeah. What I'm saying is because, you know, people are surprised when they see somebody step on stage looking like you do, but they don't understand that this is nothing new to your body. You know, there's people that are busting their butts in the gym all the time for improvement, But unless mm-hmm. they're really satisfied with the improvements they have, then they don't really step on stage, and you got to respect that. And there's some people that, you know, just that's their motivation is competing, and so they step on stage whenever they have the chance to do so. So I think that's what really kind of blew people out when they saw you the year before, and they said, you know, hey, this guy looks pretty good. And then you get the old wow moment when you step on stage last year, and it's like, whoa, man, this dude's kicking our butt. And, you know, I think Kansas City, out a little further west in that region, and now the Chi-Town Showdown are becoming really big shows where you can basically rate yourself to the best in the area, basically, because, you know, that's the show to be at in that region. So, I mean, for you to win there, it was no surprise that you would just go on and keep on doing so well. So, you know, just let people know the shows you competed in last year and how you did.
Well, my opener show was Kevin Noble's NPC show.
Mm-hmm.
It was in, I believe, May. Toward the beginning of May. I won the light heavy class. I actually did really well at this show. One light heavy, one, I believe, hard as nails, and best wheels. But I got beat out in the overall, which, that was just fine with me. I was pretty content with how I did. Because that's a
mm-hmm.
highly competitive show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I did the showdown, Chi-Town Showdown. I won the men's open bodybuilding and the master's bodybuilding. So that was good because the year prior I placed third in both divisions. So to go from third to taking the overall in both of them, I was more than happy.
Mm-hmm.
But like we were saying, I did put in a lot of work. So,
just some surprising changes. So who did you get in your background basically to get you going in the direction you said, this is the spot I need to be? Because I'm sure, like you said, getting third place and saying, this is the show I want to win, and then coming back and doing exactly what you did, that lets you know your focus was on point. But then you have to make changes to where you're saying, what I'm doing is not enough. So what did you do to basically bring that area up, and who did you include to make sure that happened?
I got a couple of important people on my, I guess, team, you could say, loosely. In January before the show, so January 15, I went to Lane Norton's seminar camp. It's
mm-hmm.
practical, meaning, you go over the compound lifts and, seminars where they talk about, experts
mm-hmm.
on research on nutrition, fitness, et cetera. So I went to that, and I really, I think that helped me really refine the mechanics of my compound lifts, and I'm still refining them. The squat is something I'm always working on. It's one of the harder lifts for me, but I mean, that has it's helped me so much. And my leg development and my strength, that's
mm-hmm.
definitely been a huge help. And, after the camp, I was looking for a new prep coach, and, I emailed Lane inquiring, and, he said he had room to take me on. So from there on, Lane was, writing my diet. And, obviously he's very sought after, and he's sought after because he's good at what he does.
You better be.
That definitely helped me. And then after the showdown, I tried to get some feedback from the judges. So, knowing that, Kimmy Arnone, I don't even know how to say her last name, Arnone.
Arnone, you're good. You're good.
Arnone. Okay, thanks for the clarification. Kimmy Arnone was the head judge, so I hit her on Facebook, asking her for some feedback. Give me the good, the bad, and the ugly, because if you want to get better, that's what you got to know. You got to know what you do well.
You better
believe you need to improve on it. So of course, being wanting to know what I need to improve on, I talked to her real quick, and she gave me feedback. And then I started working with her on my posing. And I think
and
the combination
knows.
Of working with
and she knows.
Yeah. My transitions were ugly before I started working with her. I kind of just like, it wasn't very fluid at all. It's really helped my presentation on stage, you know, especially if you're going to be at the pro level. You have to have smooth transitions. You have to look like, you know what you're doing up there.
Yes.
So I working with those two has really helped me, take my physique and my presentation up to where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went out west, even further west than the Midwest, went a little further, and you did another show and did pretty good out there, too, before you, started really hanking out the pro ranks.
Yeah, that's where I earned my my FPA pro card. The reason I went out there, it was the Nebraska Max Classic in Norfolk,
mm-hmm.
Nebraska. That was like a week or two after the showdown. And the reason I did mm-hmm. that show is because there was supposed to be a pro qualifier, IFPA pro qualifier, in the Chicago area. And I'm not sure what
mm-hmm.
happened with it, but it kind of got canceled, like, last minute. And so I looked online. This one was, within driving distance. So I called the promoter. I was like, hey, can I get in? And she said, yeah. So, I mean, it was very, very last minute. But, went over there, won the overall, won my pro card. And then... started hitting the pro ranks from there.
I was actually
debating taking time off, and because I was,
mm-hmm.
I went to the after event talking to the judges and the competitors, and some of the judges were asking me, what are you going to do from here? And I was like, I'll probably take a year off, work on this, work on that, and I kind of got yelled at, more or less. A couple of them were like, yeah, you need to compete, like, now. You're ready to compete with some of the top pros, like, now. And
mm-hmm.
initially I thought maybe they were just, kind of trying to feed me information, just trying to be nice or whatever. I was kind of like, really? I don't know if I should believe it or not. But after hearing it from, like, multiple judges, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I will consider doing that. And I decided
mm-hmm.
to, so... Definitely glad I did.
Well, it's a good thing.
Yeah, sometimes you need that little push,
mm-hmm.
because it's a big step to go from the amateur to the pro level. It's a huge step,
mm-hmm.
the boys on the pro stage aren't playing around. It's night and day
difference.
Oh,
no. Well, let's
yeah.
take a minute and pause on that, because that is a very, very good point. And, there are a lot of people that do get that prodding where they shouldn't. So, let's address that, because I don't want people to think that you took this any kind of lightly. You were very serious about respecting stage, and you wanted to actually step on there with your best. But you need, like you said, you needed that outside but good support, not people just saying, hey, you can do that. You won the overall, because it is a big difference. And it's light years. I can't express. And I hope people understand that, your body had progressed to a point where it was just bursting at the seams, wanting to be on a pro stage because you were, ready. But there are people basically that take a great physique and they get it to their best potential at that time, but they're not stepping on stage with a pro physique. And that's really, really different. And, you can say, because you did make that transition, but you'd already seen what pros look like, and you've actually been, in the arena with them. So it's not as easy as it sounds, because, basically you were ready. Let's just say it. You were ready last year you were stepping on stage competing in an amateur show because you didn't have your pro card, but your body was more than ready to take on that pro form because it was already there. And I think that's what some people downplay, that they win a pro card, but they don't have a pro's physique yet. And it's not saying they won't ever have that, but it's when you step
right.
on stage against guys whose bodies and muscles have matured to the point to their level, that's totally different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this before. I mean, the saying goes, I mean, just because you earn a pro card does not mean you're ready to be competitive on a stage with the pros. I mean, you've earned your right to be up there, but to actually be competitive with, you know, quality pros, that's a world of difference. And, you know, like, you definitely want to respect that. I wouldn't want to step on stage with pros if I didn't feel like I was really ready to hang with the big dogs up there. It's, you know, it's definitely way, way, way different.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's coming
down. And, you know,
when
you think about the names that you stepped on stage with, I mean, those are some high-quality competitors.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the IFPA Pro International, you know, I'm sitting here between Ray Clark and Terry Starks. I'm just like, this is my first show.
Oh, my goodness.
It was such a great season. A lot of good experiences. And at that show, I actually played silver in my division, the heavyweights. Those are the only two competitors that placed ahead of me were Terry Starks and Ray Clark. And I could live with that. You know, like, okay.
You know,
these guys have been they've been in the game for a long time, and those are some big dudes.
Yes.
Yeah, they are big boys.
They carry their muscle well. I will second you on that one. That was, I can't even imagine, man. It's like, hey, wow. I mean, because they really, these guys know how to work a pro stage because they're professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God you got with the people that you did. But like you said, you don't want to embarrass yourself. You don't want to embarrass the stage. But you also want to respect the pros for the hard work they've done. And to count yourself among that is a blessing in itself. But I mean, you held your own. Let's not shorten that at all. You like I said, you definitely deserved to be out there. And you know, there's a difference between, like you said, winning a pro card and then competing on a pro stage.
Right. Yes. Thanks for that compliment, Kaylin. Yeah. Reviewing the pictures, I felt I did hold my own. You know. Even next to a Terry Starks and a Ray Clark, I thought I looked very respectable.
Yes, and that's what it's all about, because if it's competition, you want to know. That's the whole thing about competing, is everybody wants to know, where do I need to improve? That's the one question any true competitor will ask consistently all the time: where do I need to improve to make this whole thing better? Not just for me to improve, but everybody out there.
Right. That's what the sport's about, is you know, trying to constantly up your last presentation that you brought, coming in fuller, coming in tighter, better posing, everything. Just constantly trying to improve. And you know, a lot of times you really don't know what you're going to look like next to a competitor, because a photo is just a photo.
Yes.
And you don't know until you're on stage under the lights next to that competitor. You know, you could sit here and, superimpose your picture next to their picture, and I've done it, trust me. But until you're on stage next to that person, you don't know. It's extremely hard to tell who has a superior physique.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that most people tend to forget when wanting to step on a pro stage is you're going to get worked.
What was that? You got to get what?
You're going to get worked. They're going to work you over.
Oh, man. Do you remember how they had us at the Mayhem, how long we were out there posing?
Yes.
Man. We had to be out there close to a half hour to the heavyweight.
26 minutes.
Man, they were working us. Was it that long? Man.
Yes.
And I was pretty much in the lineup the whole time. I mean, I was in the back maybe one time, but other than that, I was out there posing. And, they work. You have to be ready. If you're not practicing your posing, forget it.
Yes.
how many guys were on that floor when you guys got out there and basically lost the win, and because of that, they were just sent to the back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's part of the game, too. You know, a lot of, you know, I practice every day, try to get at least 15 minutes. Sometimes I shoot for more. I usually meet with Kimmy once a week, and she'll work me like a dog, of course. you know, she'll have me posing at least a half hour straight, and then maybe take a little breather, and then another 20, 30 minutes. So all that helps, you know, it definitely helps. So this way,
yeah,
when the stage comes, I'm on my way to being ready.
Well, you know, how does it feel now, you know, when you were like, with the way the Chi-Town's been growing and with the level of competition, and you look at just the names that have come off that stage out of this area and went on to do great on the pro stage, it lets you know that show is really the show in this area.
You're right. It draws a lot of talent from, and not just the Chicago area. You know, there's people coming from Minnesota, Wisconsin, people coming from all over the place. It's not just a strictly local thing. So, I mean, there were, close to like 300 entrants last year?
Yes. If you take last year's group, how many people from last year's group went on to compete as pros and win as pros? I mean, you guys were placing just like you were winning at the Shank.
Chi-Town is definitely not short on talent, that's for sure. Last year I saw that there were a couple guys that I'm hoping to see emerge this year. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, seeing how they come in this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're working hard.
Tom Parrish, he went on to compete as a pro, and he did well. Rich Feliciano went on to compete as a pro, and he did well. You went on to compete as a pro, and you did well. Monte Bailey went on to compete as a pro, and he did well. My goodness. And that's all off of one stage.
Yeah.
Dude, I was really excited by that because I said, this is how you know. I remember telling a lady that was in the audience when I had a chance to catch you guys, I said, you're basically seeing pro caliber at an amateur show. It was that well done.
It was definitely not short on talent. I'm sure it'll be like that this year too. Are you going to be at the showdown this year?
Plan on it. You better believe. Yeah, I mean, I want to catch your routine because I hear that that's one of the blessings of winning the overall in bodybuilding at that show.
Yeah,
you can come back.
Yeah. I'll be doing the guest posing there, and I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun.
I know you're going to come up with something well. I know it. I just know it. Because, I said, I saw you last year, and your transitions, this is just being real. Your transitions from the year before to last year, night and day. Night and day. You weren't stiff as a board, and you had fluid movement. And that's when you know you're comfortable up there.
Yeah, that's what, you know, Kimmy has been helping me work on. You know, I really didn't even know it was that bad. And then, you know, after I tried to get some feedback from Kimmy, she's like, your physique is amazing, but your posing sucks. I really didn't even know it was that bad.
Well,
you had a
blocky movement, but you're not a blocky individual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've just been working on getting those transitions smooth and making the movements very deliberate and, you know, trying to do all the little things to draw attention to yourself and get the judges looking at you. But obviously, the more they're looking at you, the better it is for you.
And that's a good segue to the point of the mayhem where, like you said, you've been put in the back But just because you didn't quit posing back there, they brought you back up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I got called for the first call offs, if I remember correctly. And was out there for quite a while, and then they shifted me to the back, and then they brought me back out to the front. So like we said, they worked this. I guess it was 26 minutes according to you. But I definitely felt it.
I'm sure. I mean, they even said, you know, you're going to earn this because you guys are all looking good. And it, you know, granted, it was a tough group. Let's be honest about that. I think the six were hard to figure out who's going to do what. And then, like I said, some of them just gassed out, and they basically took the moment from themselves. So, you know, as much as they might think they look well, you have to show it. And I think that's one of the things you're talking about from being an amateur to being a pro, is you have to have a pro look the whole time you're on stage.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of talent there, a lot of really good competitors. And I believe there were like 15 in my class, if I remember correctly, right around 15 competitors. So to place in there, I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, oh my goodness. You know, and just the fact that, you know, anybody that's been watching you come up is really excited because it's like, I know this guy, and I know the hard work he's put in. So you really respect that moment when you get called in the top five, and it's like, yes, because you know you're supposed to be there. And when I say you, I'm talking about us watching you in the audience and in backstage, because we know the work you put in.
Right. I've definitely put in a lot of work, but you know, when it's something you're passionate about, it's work and it's fun at the same time. I mean, I genuinely have fun lifting at the gym, so I know it's work, but I'm having a good time doing it.
Now, there's one thing I have to ask, because you know we have a lot of up and coming competitors and people that have been competing for years. Instead, don't seem to have that extra oomph that gets them to where you are right now. What time or what moment the previous year was it where you said, I've got to do better, and come hell or high water, it's going to happen? Can you recall that for us?
You know, it was right around the time when I went to the Lane's camp. It was like a two-day camp that he had in Chicago, actually the Joliet area. And you know, when you're around a group of competitors or powerlifters, you just feel that energy in the room when everybody's passionate about the same thing. And just right from there, it just kind of lit a fire under me. I saw, you know, everybody trying to, you know, better their compound lifts and get more information on, you know, bodybuilding, peak week and this and that. And I kind of, that was right around when I decided, like, okay, it's game time for the showdown. I gotta bring in my A game.
Mm-hmm.
And hired Lane as my prep coach and, you know, went to work. A lot of it is, you know, of course the training, you know, but you got to come in dialed in. You have to be shredded. And that was, obviously that's important. You know, if you have the muscle, that's great. But if you're not lean enough to display it properly, you're not going to be a top competitor.
Nope. And that's real talk right there. No pun intended. And, you know, when you hit that next level, is basically when you have the naysayers saying, okay, he's on something. I said, now you got it. It's like until you get that kind of hate, they don't get it. But it's like you don't get that attention because you're basically just fitting
right
in. But your whole goal was not to fit in.
I'm pretty used to it by now. And now I kind of just give it a little chuckle, a little smile, and I was talking to one of my gym buddies the other day. He's like, he kind of said something along the lines. He's like, you know, everybody in this gym thinks you're on steroids. I just kind of laughed. I'm like, well, that's not really my problem. I kind of have learned to just kind of shrug it off. Okay, well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to lose a wink of sleep over what someone thinks I am or am not taking.
But see, I really do get it. It makes sense when you figure that everybody that was kind of ashamed of being on it was saying they weren't, and then later on it turns out, oh, yeah, they were. So I get it, you know, that group that basically weren't the pioneers but might have been seen as pioneers, but they weren't really. And that's a big letdown when you have people that are looking up to you and watching you do the hard work, but then they realize, oh, he's taking, something that's basically having him look that way, and he's not looking like what he's saying he is. So I get it. You know, I was just checking social media today, and Proyo has been busting her butt to get better, and then lo and behold, people are saying, oh, well, you got to be on something to look like that. And it's like, no, you finally understand the formula that says, all right, hard work, food, and sleep is what I need to do, not just something I need to wish for, because I'm sure we've all had those wish-for moments. I wish this, you know, if I'd have done this before that show, that was the show that would have been my make or break, but you're broke because you didn't go in with your bet. Everybody's been
right
there. We've all had those moments, you know, and then you could say, all right, enough.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in less wishing, more working.
Yes.
You know, wishing isn't going to do much for it. Yeah, I put in a lot of work. Maybe a little bit of wishing.
Yeah.
Not too much.
Well, the wishing is basically the work. The wishing for the work, because there's days where, you know, I'm at the gym and I basically wish to work harder because I know I'm not bringing what I should to get going. I'm sure you've been there too. But when you do find that way to motivate your way through it, it's going to start making changes because basically you've reached your normal limit and now you're finding a new level. And when that happens, a lot of it stems from the mind. You know, people think your body improves, but until your mind improves, your body is just stuck in limbo.
Yeah, to get, you're exactly right. It's a mind game. A lot of times to get to that next level, you have to be, it's really about being strong mentally. Willing to, get your squat weight up. It's a mental game. You know, if you're not mentally ready to do a certain lift, forget it. Don't even step in the gym because you're going to waste your time. You have to step in with a killer mental instinct that you're just going to absolutely destroy this workout and nothing's going to stop you from doing that. And that's what I try to bring with me every day to the gym. Today was leg day.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, today's leg day. Today was leg day. I just got in not too long before this call from a good leg session, and that's to me the prime example of true grit. You know, if you could just go in and destroy a leg session, give it your all, that's going to take you really far in the game. Fuel your body right. And just destroy your workouts, and, you know, you'll be on your way for sure.
Yeah. What I was going to say is there was a gentleman, and, you know, there's no point in saying a name. We'll just leave it at that. But he always wanted to come in and work out with me, and I said, well, that's fine. Let's get it done. But every time we'd get to the gym, you know, I would let him know what I was going to do, and then he'd say, oh, well, I want to do this because I'm just going to wing it today. And I was thinking, well, what kind of plan is that? You know, I said, you're going to have a hard time really enjoying your workout, basically, because there's no plan of action. And he's like, oh, no, this is the best way for me to do it. And sure enough, you know, he's not seeing the results that, you know, the people, not even myself, the people that were at the gym were seeing. And sooner than later, he started breaking down mentally and saying, well, you know, this sucks and I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're a typical person that's going to just blame it on their genetics. Oh, my genetics won't allow me to do this or won't allow me to do that. And I strongly feel that's a cop-out. People throw that out there all the time. I mean, if you look at, you know, for example, my before pictures, I'm skinny. Okay, I could have just said, well, it's not in my genetics. I can't be muscular. Forget it.
Yeah.
But if you want it, you work for it. You know, you put in the work, and, you know, it's not magic.
No. And I've said this 100 times. You know, I was a skinny one in my family. I had a brother that just seemed to sneeze, and his biceps would come out. And it was like, well, then I just got to work harder. I mean, that was just the thing I understood. I'm going to have to work harder in football. I'm going to have to work harder in basketball. I'm going to have to work harder. In any kind of sport, I'm going to have to work harder because everything that seemed to come naturally to him was something I just had to work for. But it never came down to me saying, oh, well, this is not going to happen. It's just saying, well, he might be blessed in that area, but I could be blessed in my hard work. And that's the way I looked at it. And, you know, it has yet to fail me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, hard work can definitely trump just raw genetic talent for sure. Because a lot of times, if you know the person has that elevated genetic potential, they might not, they might not have the hard work, the killer instinct that the person who actually doesn't have that genetic potential. So it's it's all about playing with the hand you're dealt.
Yeah, and you're not. I mean, like, people think they're dealt a bad hand, but they're not. It's just saying, all right, you just got okay. Instead of saying you have the interstate, you just got to use basically the like, let's say 45 or 52 instead of 57 or 55. Yeah, you got more stops, but you still get to get there, and that's the thing I don't get when people say it can happen because I don't get to take the interstate. Well, so what?
Right.
You know, some people have to ride a bicycle. You still get to drive a car.
might take you a little longer, but you could still get there.
Yes. Oh, yes. And it's so much more if you focus on the journey, then the destination basically happens before you know it because you're enjoying everything about it. Like you said, if you got passion for it, it's hard work, but it's work you enjoy. And that's what makes feel like work. I mean, people hear us say it, and it's like, oh, they're just bragging. But, you know, I've said this 100 times. Genetics doesn't get you up at 4 in the morning or, 5 in the morning to get you doing something. Genetics has no part in it.
That's right. Yeah, definitely not.
So, go ahead.
Oh, no. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm just going to say because, in 1 year's time, the changes you made would be hard for the novice. But like you said, you've been at this for 10 years. And, I really want people to understand this because there's going to be plenty of people trying to take away from the work you've done because they're not willing to do it. I get that. But for the person that's coming up that really is motivated and really does have that hunger and really can do the work, there's a certain value to muscle maturity that most people don't understand. And I've been speaking on this over and over again, that muscle maturity trumps anything because your body wants that work because it's ready for that next step. And that's what happened with you where it's not lightning in a bottle. And I can't understand why people take away from your hard work when they do that. You did not capture lightning in a bottle. You captured lightning in your mentality. You're saying, I'm going to spark everything to get my body to where it is.
Yeah. I believe, another one of the catalysts for me being more successful this year is, I really just started hammering the compound lifts, hitting the squat bench and dead twice a week and, going at it with different training protocols, high reps, low reps, and not missing a workout. Not missing a meal, not making excuses to why I can't do this or can't do that, because anybody can make an excuse. But to get in there, it's rare that I miss a workout. I mean, it's okay if you do. Life happens. But you know, when it's on a, you know, you always know that person when it's on a consistent basis. Well, I couldn't train today because this or that. And if that's on a regular basis, you know, forget it. You know, bodybuilding's not for you.
Yeah, it's great.
And I just made sure to, I think that was a huge, huge factor in me really stepping up this year. Hitting the compound lifts with a purpose, doing them correctly. I still, you know, try to monitor my form, you know, via video. Like one set or two sets out of my workout, I'll video myself so I can, you know, do a little self-analysis on my form and technique. And, you know, I'll post some stuff online sometimes. Just I feel it helps keep me accountable.
Yes.
You know.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because you do need to hear that input. And there are people that you can trust what they say, you know, because there's bandwagon jumpers and there's yes men that just, you know, because the hype, they want to say, I want to be a part of that. And they'll say anything, you know, just to be a part of it. But then there's people that really genuinely know if it's right or wrong. And those are the ones where you can lean back and say, you know, yeah, I need to watch this and I need to address that. But it's not like you're threatened. You know this is what's needed to improve the sport.
Yeah. I can't stress enough, like, on making the compound list a steady staple in your training regimen. I know sometimes people shy away from the squat and the dead because maybe because they're brutally hard. That's probably why.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, it's tried and true, and that's really what I feel has given me the best progress. Just, you know, tried and true compound lifts and coming at it, going at them with ferocity, you know, not going in there half asleep and, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, daydream through my lifts, you know, headphones on, music up, and you know, it's either, you know, get under that bar and it's going to take me down or, you know, get through it.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is something, like you said, it's going to happen. And I think that's the major difference in everything that happens for a pro and for a winner. It's going to happen. I will find a way. And, you know, that takes fear, that takes worry, that takes doubt, and it puts them out of your vehicle of motivation. And that's what's necessary because, you know, you found a way. You had to include people in your life to do it, but, hey, you found a way.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have a good support group that really knows, you know, what they're talking about. Another person that I can confer with every now and then is Tom Cush. You know Tom. He's been in the bodybuilding industry for a long time. And every now and then I'll send him a progress shot and be like, what do you think, Tom? And, you know, and he'll tell me, you know, well, let's work on, you know, you need to add a little depth here or let's work on this a little bit more. And, you know, him, Kimmy, Lane, that's the biggest thing that I love about them is they do not sugarcoat. You know, they're not yes men. If a certain part of me is sucking or they think I'm not giving it my all, they will flat out tell me. And that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, Chris, yeah, you look great, even though, you know, I need to work on X, Y, and Z. I want to hear, yeah, this really needs work. Let's work on that.
Yeah.
And
if that's a competitor, yes, there you go. You're the competitor. And you're going to put your butt on the line every time you step on stage, and a yes ain't going to cut it.
No. Nope. You got to have people that are going to give you the ugly truth. Of course, you know, you want to get some praise in there too. When something needs a little focus, when something needs to be picked up a little bit, or if you're not as conditioned as you need to be going into a show, you want to hear it. There's a lot of, sometimes it's hard to see things on yourself. You know, you see yourself every day or
exactly.
It's good to get that outside perspective from someone who knows what they're talking about and is going to give it to you just without any, without any hesitation.
Yeah, and they know what to look for. I mean, that's, I think that's the best blessing you can get out of all of that is, you know, it's not just somebody that wants to help, but somebody actually knows how to get it done. Because, you know, as a competitor, this is what you need to feed on, because there's a hunger in learning. And I think a lot of us as competitors tend to forget that, because you say, well, I made it. And I don't know any true competitor that can say, I made it. I'm getting better. I'm improving. But I don't think there's ever that day where you actually feel like you made it. I made it to the show. I made it all
right
time to check in. But as far as saying, you know, I'm actually there, I haven't met one that really said, you know, I'm the best there is. If they do say that, it's basically just as a motivational tool to basically keep them their butt in line, because now they've put themselves out there to where they have to work harder.
Yeah, there's always work to be done. There's I always review my pictures, review my the video of posing, and pick it apart. Do I need to work on this body part, or were my transitions poor? Was I not holding the pose correctly? And that's little things like that is what betters a competitor. If you're not doing self-analysis, you're gonna stagnate. And this board is always
the worst place to be.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So now, Chris, pro Captain Salgado, just the man. What do you have to say to the people that are really digging deep and stuck in that spot where they're not improving, and then they realize, because you basically have to find a way. I mean, that's the one thing, like you said, just said about stagnating. There's no worse spot. To get that person out of the rut, what do you tell them to make them better?
Well, they have to decide if they want it or not. We're not talking about wishing for it. It's going to take putting in that work, when you don't want to go to the gym, when you're feeling sore, when you're sleepy, hungry, you got to want it. And, it's all about having that drive. That's just mental toughness. That's a huge, huge component to stepping yourself up. Going into workout, just giving it your all. Some people turn the gym into, gossip hour. And if you're doing that, forget it. Right now, I am during quote unquote off season. I'm still, there's no off season. I'm still going at it real hard. I feel like I should come in at least several pounds heavier this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing my changes I bring. It's just all about the work. And if they're not ready to get in the trenches and put in the work, then bodybuilding might not be for them.
Yes, and I'm so glad you said it, because that's basically what it comes down to. I like bowling, but I know I would never give it my all. So I bowl you and Barkley. I'm just saying it's, let's put it to somewhere where people can understand, because although I can bowl, I'm not a bowler. Because if I was,
right,
I put in the work, like you're saying. As much as I loved high school and college football, I realized I wasn't going to go pro in it. That doesn't mean I didn't play, but I'm not going to be able to give the respect necessary, because honestly, I'm realizing everybody else is getting better at a pace where I'm not. That doesn't make me a bad football player. Honestly, I wouldn't have got a chance to play college, but it's obvious that, it's not for me in the pro ranks. That's not saying that everybody else sucks or they're cheating to get there, but that's just saying that I'm not one of them. I'm not counted among them. So I don't see why it has to be any different with bodybuilding. There's people I've learned that just love to be in the audience, and they love the energy, they love the positive atmosphere, they love everything about bodybuilding except the diet and the work. That doesn't make them bad people.
Right.
But, it's like you said, it's just not for them. This is something they're saying, I respect, God knows I respect what you're doing, And I love the fact that you guys have reached that next level and, you know, met your potential, because it's fascinating to watch, and I'm a fan of this, but I'm not a competitor. I don't see why it has to be an all-or-nothing kind of atmosphere when you think about bodybuilding.
Oh, yeah, no, you could definitely be a spectator, definitely. I mean, you know, there's definitely people that go to all the shows, and, you know, they're there in the prejudging, they're there at the night show, and that's definitely, you know, a way to be involved in bodybuilding. Yeah, you don't, I wouldn't say you necessarily have to step on stage,
yeah.
But, you know, if that's something they're passionate about, then that's their end, yeah, of course.
That's right.
And, you know,
as competitors, I'm glad we got them.
Oh, absolutely. As a competitor, you want you know, you want people there in the audience watching, you know, cheering everybody on. It's that's always a plus.
Yeah.
You know, the more people, the better.
Right? Now, I've got a question, because you got to enjoy both atmospheres last year, and that was doing an overall pose down as an amateur and doing an overall pose down as a pro. Which felt better?
You know what? One of my favorite pose downs was at the Mayhem, and just because there were so many of us up there on stage, and of course, you know, it's part serious and we're goofing around a little bit. And just looking back at some of the pictures, I mean, we had a really good time on stage in that pose down. You know,
yeah,
moving around different parts of the stage, posing next to some of your favorite competitors, you know, guys you were talking to backstage earlier. And that's really, that's some of the fun of it. It's not, obviously it's very serious, but we have a little fun in the process as well.
Yeah. Now, since you brought up the pull down, and I have to bring this up because I was really just blown away by it, and that's the fact that every picture that we talk about was given to us free as part of the part of just competing in the show. And Liquid Spectrum did an awesome job. I mean, just phenomenal job. If anyone doubts me, check my profile pic and you'll see one of the pictures they took. I was just...
That is a really,
you know,
good picture.
I had to say, is that really me? Yeah, I was like, is that really me? It was that good.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that when I saw some of the pictures of myself. But yeah, I know which picture you're talking about. I liked it. I really like that picture of you. That's a great picture.
Muscular. It was just, I mean, they took such spectacular pictures. I can spot them in the lineup. And when people are posting pictures, and I can say, oh, yeah, that's Liquid Spectrum. Because it was just so ahead of the game as far as, you know, and I'm not putting down any photographer, God knows, but I know they all put in the work, but these guys brought in a team and they just covered everything.
Yeah, there were a couple shots where I was like, is that me?
Right?
Yeah, they did a great job. So it's and we got them for free. I mean, you really can't beat that.
Yeah.
It's really, they're doing good things, trying to advance the sport for the competitors. And I think that's great.
Yeah. And I really think the Mayhem's going to be like the show to the Chi-Town, except on the pro side, because Leaf really did a great, great, great job of addressing the pros as actual competitors, because I think that was the one thing that had been, you know, spoken about in the pro ranks, is that, you know, all right, we're coming as pros, but we're not being treated that way. And Leaf addressed all of that and more.
Yeah, I think he put together a great show. We got one great goodie bag. You got the same Sivation goodie bag that we got. It just, you felt like filled with supplements. Right? Yeah, there's plenty of supplements in there.
A double bag filled with supplements.
Hey, I definitely wasn't upset with that. Got a couple shirts. We got set up, and you know, we felt like I don't know much. I'm sure you did too. I just felt important, you know.
Yes, but like, I mean, you gotta have to say respect. That was the one thing that I think everybody understood. It's nothing but respect coming in here. And that's what I think every competitor is looking for, because we do put in a lot of hard work, and we do, you know, go, like you said, go in the trenches, and then to be treated like cattle kind of takes away from that moment and that special time that you're looking for.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I believe that's part of their mission statement, you know, having the athletes first and, you know, making the shows is actually about the athlete and, you know, making them feel important and respected, which I think is great, you know, obviously.
Mm-hmm. It's needed. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
It's needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, it is, it's a good change.
Oh,
are you going to be doing Mayhem this year?
You started winning at a great time. Huh? You know, I'll be up there. Every show I'm going to try to make, because I really want to, you know, give the round of applause and support every great promoter that we have, because, you know, we need that. I mean, in order for us to grow, we need that. And I can't stress that enough, because the competitors want to compete. Let's be honest. But is it worth the competition if you are basically run over and treated like crap? I mean, who's really – I mean, if you're going to put in that kind of – can you imagine any other sport and being a pro and basically you got a basketball game in a barn, and then they got cattle prods to make sure you play? Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what some of the shows were like back in the day. And I said, well, then who would want to compete if you're getting talked to like garbage? You know, your game is about to effing start. Get your A out there and play effing hard, you son of a... It's like, well, wow. All that practice and, you know, this is what I'm getting on the field for. And you get out there and it's like, okay, well, we're going to cut the stage lights and we're pretty much, well, you know, we already know who's going to win and who's not. So everybody else just don't show up. I mean, you know, I can't imagine any other pro sport being that kind of way, but that's what we used to have to deal with.
Well, I think, you know, organizations, you know, like DFAC, you know, where they're trying to put the athletes first, that'll be good for the sport in general, because that's going to make other organizations, you know, try to have to follow suit. And it seems like that is the trend. So hopefully, you know, hopefully that'll continue, where, you know, more emphasis is placed on the competitor and, you know, having it really be about them. And, you know, the Perez family, they do a great job running the showdown. You definitely feel like
they're there.
So.
My goodness, yes. That's the perfect way to end the show, man. You couldn't have said it better. But I want you to give you a chance to give you a shout-out to your supporters, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, of course, I got to thank, you know, my prep coach Lane, Kimmy, opposing coach Kimmy Arnone, Tom Cush, he's always in there, you know, giving me a little support when I need it. And Core Supplements, it's a store on the south side of Chicago that sponsors me. They're you know, a private-owned store. If you're in the south side of Chicago, right around Archer and Sayre, check them out. 10% off if you mention my name, Chris Salgado. Owners of a couple young guys, really cool guys, and I wish them, you know, nothing but success in the future. And, of course,
you
my friends and family. You know, what was that?
I said they've got a great platform in you.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to work together, you know, so I'm trying to get their name out, and they're taking care of me. So it's working out pretty well.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, great job, Chris. Congratulations on everything you've done, and I wish you nothing but the best, man. I mean, you're the real deal, and I respect that.
Thanks, Kalen. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have a blessed. Hey, no problem. No problem. It's truly an honor, man. I mean it. You busted your butt. You deserve everything you get. Great
thank
show tonight.
You.
Really
you
appreciate
much.
Your insight and your perspective. I know. Well, I guess if the fans want to know, what do you got set for the future?
Well, I'm looking at my season opener being by the IFPA Pro International. Which is like mid-September, right around September 17th. I was contemplating doing IFPA Uprising, which is in June, but after the season I had last year, I felt like it was just, I mean, I was competition stage lean for probably like close to 9 months. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
It's just, it was a lot. I really put my body through the ringer. So I just want to get a late jump in on the end of the season, try to qualify for IFPA Nationals. I don't think it's called the Jordan this year. It's called something else, but whatever it's called. Try to qualify for that. And
yeah, it's
possibly
a different show.
Mayhem.
We'll talk about
possibly
oh, you better
mayhem.
Do the Mayhem. You better do the Mayhem.
I'm not.
Yeah, you were so close last year.
I was. And I feel like I should come in with some pretty solid improvements. I've been going full steam. So
yeah, and you took your waistband a lot, so that's really nice. You took your waistline great, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, been working on that, trying to take that in and take everything else out. back. My back has been exploding. Chest, delts, so I'm really looking forward to, you know, this season once I start to cut down.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt you will
be good.
Yeah, I know it will be. And I look forward to seeing you at these different shows and venues. And definitely waiting with, like, patient ears and eyes to see that guest poser routine. Because, like, your smile is genuine, and everybody knows you enjoy being.
Yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to it myself. You know, I mean, Kimmy and I were working on a little something, so it should be pretty good, hopefully.
I'm quite sure. Well, thanks for that, Chris. Have a great rest of the night, and I'm really proud of you, brother. I'm saying that from the heart.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Kalen. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, man.
Not a problem. Good night, man.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
You do. That was Chris Salgado. I mean, the guy, if you didn't see him coming, he ran you over. Let's just be honest. That's the way he stepped on stage. And he wasn't doing it with attitude. He was doing it with lots of energy, lots of positive energy, and lots of motivation from his heart. And he did quite well. So when you see that, you got to respect it. Whether you know, whether you want to or not. But before the show ends, I got to give a shout-out to my fellow P4P competitor and friend, Angela Proyo. Someone, you know, if you don't understand the progress and the process, there's going to be a lot of confusion because, you know, there are people that use and they say they don't. And then there are people that don't use and they say they don't. And you got to watch the work that's done to understand the difference in how they go about doing it. Because if you don't know, you don't know. And nobody is mad about people not knowing. But when you start making accusations that aren't true, you really put yourself in a bad spot. And you also are truly harassing somebody that's doing the work that you envy. And I don't respect that. I mean, if you don't have the heart to do the work, then shut up. Let's be honest about it. You should step up or shut up. It's one or the other. You don't make accusations that aren't true. You don't go after people that are busting their butts to improve themselves because you don't know the day in and day out because you're not there. How about that? And if you're not there, then how can you save somebody that is there every day? Put in the work, understand what's going on, and then say something. But don't be the person that never shows up but once every blue moon or when it's time for summer to start coming and you realize you're 40 pounds overweight, and then say, well, the person that's been busting their butt the whole time has done something illegal, because they haven't. So just respect the game because you're not playing it. Be a fan. You know, like Chris said earlier, it's not for everybody. But if you don't know what people are going through, don't speak on it either, because you don't know. If a woman is doing her best, then support that. I mean, I don't see anybody saying anything about the other side when you know they're on stuff. And you say nothing. You follow them like you've been riding a jock for months or years. But then somebody that does it in the clean and natural way, and you got to destroy them? What kind of backwards thinking is that? Well, that's just something for you to think about. My little rant's done. I'm really supportive of the people I know that bust their butt. Sue me. So leave it at that. Hope everybody has a blessed night. God bless you. Kaylin Patterson, Dez, we missed you. We missed you. Yes, we did. Kaylin Patterson, Midwest Russell, P for P, Real Talk. We are